Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Monday's edition of Birds 365. We are joined now by Les Bowen, who wrote for the Eagle, wrote about the Eagles for a long time with the Philadelphia Inquirer, now contributing on PHLY Sports and writing on lesbowensjohn.com. Les, welcome to the show, man.
Great to be here, Xander. How you doing, John?
Good, Les. Good to see you, as always. Rookie camp. How exciting are you? How exciting have rookie camps been for you over the years?
You know, it's an interesting time because you only have, 30, 40 people on the field, so they can't really do a lot of stuff. And I thought Nick made a very good point Friday when he talked to you guys about, you know, these guys haven't been, they're not in football shape. They've been training for the combine and stuff like that. So you can't really, you're going to hurt them if you go out there and try to play football or something. So, and you can't, you don't have veterans around, so you can't really install things. It's really just a chance for people to get to know one another, get familiar with the facility, with the coaches, with getting, the structure of the day and stuff like that. And it's not a tremendously vital time of year, I guess, but it's in the old days, there used to be intrigue over when this guy would sign or that guy would sign. But now that's all.
Yeah. We were just talking about that. It's all slotted. Still people get it. You know, a couple of years ago, Landon Dickerson didn't sign till right before camp and they're all worried. What's going on? I said, don't worry. I kept telling Jody, don't worry about it. It's fine. Yeah. And he came in a couple of days before camp. But I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't think about that, Les, and that's why I like having you on. When Nick talking about these guys aren't ready to play football, I thought, you know, one of the more interesting pre-draft stories to me was Marvin Harrison Jr., who didn't want to go through all this rigmarole, and he's like, I'm training for football. And I thought, why don't more people train for football instead of track?
Go ahead. I guess you'd have to really do a deep dive into how much the teams value the 40 time and the number of reps at this and that. If they don't really care, then everybody should do what Marvin Harrison does. But Marvin Harrison knew he was going to be a top five.
Yeah, right. I think that's
easy for him.
It's your top five.
So
I have asked scouts over the years, Les. I said, you know, as guys, because you have all these training facilities all over the country that specifically train these guys for these drills. And I say, are they as valuable? If, you know, back in the day when the combine first started, your buddy Paul Domowicz, as we always talk to, he was like at the first one. And guys would just show up and they weren't training for it. So you got a better feel for who the really great athletes were.
Yeah.
Now that they're training for it, it's just like a job interview from the perspective of all the agents get these guys and say, they're going to ask you this and they're prepared for it.
Yeah.
Which you can say is a good thing, but is it? Because,
We're like 25 years post Mamula now, I guess.
And yeah. Everybody knows everything
about what to do here. I don't know. It's the thing that you were just saying that kind of resonated with me is the other part of it is when you talk to a guy in his second year in the NFL, who's starting his second year, you always get this. Well, last year I didn't really have a great off season because I was preparing for the draft and doing all these interviews and trying to lose weight so I could run faster and stuff like that. So it's like, it's a disrupted off season for them.
Yeah.
And they want to have a different kind of off season, the next year. And it just seems like you're right that, that maybe they should look at how this is done. It's, are these rookies really coming in, ready to hit the ground running, or is it a distraction to them really to go through this process?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how it does change over the next couple of years. You're starting to see more players hold out. I mean, I agree. If you're a top five pick, you have different options than if you're a day three pick. But Les, we didn't have a chance to talk to you since the draft. Did anything stand out to you that the Eagles did? I know it's tough to grade the players. They haven't, you can't grade a player yet, but what'd you make of the Eagles' thought process and decision-making during the NFL draft?
Well, I was very impressed, and I also thought they were very lucky with the two defensive backs. The luck is involved in having the six quarterbacks go in the first 12 selections. They
14 offensive players.
I think it was smart of Howie to keep his powder dry and sit there and wait for the draft to come to him. There was a risk involved in that, but it worked out beautifully. And no one would have predicted that before the draft. It wasn't like when you got Quinyon Mitchell, it wasn't like when you got Andre Dillard, where you got a guy that was supposed to go much earlier, but it was just that one guy that it turned out other teams had questions about him that you didn't know enough to raise. This is a different situation. The whole defensive half of the draft slid down and all the corners were there. I think that puts a little bit of pressure on them. And I think Howie kind of gave a nod to that in his remarks. They had their pick of any corner.
Yeah.
And Quinyon Mitchell is the consensus, top corner. But some people like Terrion Arnold better.
Yeah.
And if any of these guys ends up being better than Quinyon Mitchell,
you
can now criticize the Eagles for not – what if Nate Wiggins ends up being the best one? They had their pick, so this guy better be the best corner of a very good corner class, or there will be people who will point that out. But getting both those guys, knowing exactly when to, I'll give Howie credit, knowing exactly when he had to trade up to 40 to get DeJean, that was smart. And it was an incredible haul just from those two, the secondary was ground zero last year for me of the whole implosion and all their problems. Obviously, there were other issues that arose, but that was really if you wanted to fix one thing, that's the one thing.
Right.
That's the big hole in the boat right there. So to get two guys of that caliber, going forward, it was long overdue for one thing. One point that I made and something I wrote was that you make choices in every draft. And one of the choices here was to not get Lane Johnson's successor in the first couple rounds of this draft. It was to get that secondary fixed. And you can't quarrel with that choice, but it's still a choice.
Yep.
And if Lane Johnson, God forbid, tears his ACL game week three, and we'll see how Mekhi Becton looks.
You saw that sense of urgency though, Les, because Howie admitted he was very honest. And what he was asked, you know, because this was considered a very deep offensive line draft at the top.
At the top.
Not only on the first round, but day two, there were 24 different offensive linemen selected, and the Eagles were 0-24. Now, if you would have told me that, I would have said no way.
Well, they traded 50 and 53.
Yeah, I think that's where they were going to go. Yeah.
I said, you make choices. Yeah. You got Cooper DeJean, which was everybody agrees is an incredible value, but you did not get an offensive tackle.
I want to get to Cooper in a second, but before I want to say, did the Mekhi Becton signing so immediate after the draft? Did that flash a sense of urgency to you that, all right, we got to do something on the offensive line? And he's still young. You know, you get him with Stoutland. He evidently wants to be here. He's got tremendous talent. But
I don't know how Stoutland is at keeping guys from getting hurt, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that Becton has had an incredible litany of injuries, which has been part of his story.
He did play most of last year. But, you know, and it wasn't great, but I think it's a decent signing. He's only 25.
Oh, yeah. I think in answer to your question, I think Howie might have had this in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Thinking he might not get an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
And been, you know, okay, let's talk Monday if things go a certain way. I heard people talking, you know, other reporters talking during the draft about this, you know, about the possibility that you might have to go for somebody like this. So,
and that's what Howie's good at. Howie, to his credit, he's good at contingencies, man. Yeah. He's got, if one thing doesn't go, he's got another thing in the pipe.
Offensive tackle isn't like running back. It's not like there's 30 of them sitting out there that you can just grab one. Yeah. That was the only guy on the market that really, you know, could even possibly move the needle. So it was astute of him to do that. And we'll see how it all works out. But they're, you know, they're still not depth-wise where they were last year at offensive line. That's for sure.
No. With Cooper, did you see the Eagles unscripted thing with they kind of showed their behind-the-scenes streaming show that they put on Eagles.com? They showed the war room, the trade-up.
Yes.
They were very concerned that the Rams were trading up at 39 to get Cooper DeJean. Mm-hmm. But I want to get your thoughts. Jeffrey Lurie looked pretty involved, Les,
for a
guy who's only been involved with three picks over the years.
Yeah.
What a pretty bunch involved. Of
hooey that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very involved. I think one of the reasons for Howie's success is that Howie handles Jeffrey very, very well, keeps him. You know, here's why we're doing this. Here's what we're going to do now. Here's what I think. You know, it's not there are a lot of GMs that would really, you'd sense tension or resentment at having the guy sit there and, you know, interject himself like that. And, you know, that was a big factor in the early years of the Lurie regime with other GMs, you know, that they had.
Well, I kind of mentioned earlier in the show, Les, could you imagine a young GM with that kind of overbearing presence? Eagles fans should thank their lucky stars that Howie has that experience to sort of manage the owner, I think.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it, but you're exactly right. Yeah, and that's why one of the many reasons. I mean, one reason is he does a good job overall, but that's one of the reasons why Howie is so entrenched in that position. And you know, it's hard to see him ever moving out of here. Is that relationship now? The one thing that will change eventually before Howie gets old is that Jeffrey will, at some point, you know, step back and it'll be his son, Julian, that will be sitting there. And that'll be an interesting thing for Howie to negotiate at that point.
Yeah, probably won't have the same type of relationship with Julian that he does with Jeffrey. So we'll see how that plays out. Les, we talked about it. They went two defensive backs. Now they have a quite a crowded room. Now, I don't know if the talent is great, but boy, they got a lot of players in that room.
They sure do.
Do you think James Bradberry is on the outs? Is that something you see happening post June 1?
Yeah, it has to. I mean, if you look at the depth chart, there's no way they can go forward. If they don't get rid of Bradberry, they'll be getting rid of somebody that they thought was pretty talented last year. Some of these guys like Ricks or Ringo or somebody like that, that they like, you know, they're not going to do that. I don't think.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and the ones we can count on to help us live out our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves, so if you're feeling like Black Opal Beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too. Because one shout out leads to another, and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
At the very least, you'd have to expose one or two of those guys to try to get them on the practice squad or something. Right. I just don't see that. I think Bradberry's got to be gone. I don't think you're going to get anybody to trade for him. I think you're just going to release him post June 1st and eat whatever you got to eat. But it's going to be a very different room, and I'm really fascinated by how it might fit together. I believe they said DeJean will start out on the outside.
They scouted him as a cornerback, as an outside cornerback, which makes sense because that's he played the most there at Iowa, but also played what they called the cash position as well. That's from the scouting perspective. But you know, when the coaches get him and it whittles down to 53, things can change quickly. So he does have a lot of versatility. He can play all over the place. I don't expect Malcolm Jenkins right away, but it's a nice little
It took Malcolm Jenkins a while to be Malcolm.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins won a Super Bowl his rookie year.
Yeah.
As a corner.
For the
New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. He was drafted.
But, you know, he wasn't one of their best players. He was okay, but it didn't happen right away. Didn't happen right away for Brian Dawkins, even with the Eagles, when he came aboard. So we'll see how it all fits together. One vital element of all this for me, and I bring it up every time I'm doing a podcast with anybody, is Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice to see him?
I did see him, Les. He was on the other side of the field.
It's ridiculous. They haven't had a press conference with either of these coordinators that they hired in January.
I'm predicting May 22nd. It's like,
we don't have to do that. You know, we don't have to do that. We don't have to explain anything to anybody.
Well, last year I was mentioning this. Last year they're coming off the Super Bowl. Yeah, so you have a short off season. You have young coordinators that you want to, manage, so to speak. All right, I'll buy it a little bit. I still don't agree with it, but I can buy it a little bit. This year, Vic's been doing it for 100 years. Kellen Moore's a veteran. What are you afraid of? They can handle a press conference in their sleep.
Yeah.
I think it's silly, but That's where we are.
Yeah, well, the other difference is the other two guys went to the Super Bowl and weren't fired. They were hired away. The last two guys were fired after a catastrophic collapse. So
I think they want to get big to not say anything that will affect the tampering down the road. But maybe that's
well, I think they don't want there's going to be, you know, all the questions are going to be about what's going to be different. You know, how are you going to change this defense? How is Kellen Moore going to change this offense? And they're just so paranoid about anybody knowing anything.
Oh, yeah. Competitive advantage. Yeah.
You know, we might be running the single wing. Who knows? You know,
there's not enough tape on Kellen Moore to know what he likes to do.
Right. Yeah. True. You know, it's silly, and it makes the reporter's job a lot harder because people, you know, you go into the draft having no idea, you know, like the edge rusher that they drafted in the third round. That must be a Fangio pick.
He definitely likes him. But, you know, my thing about that is how many coordinators have we had last just in the Nick Sirianni era?
Yeah, now? I mean, we've had five defensive coordinators in 4 years.
If you start drafting people solely for, Vic likes him or Kellen likes him, you know, you could argue if the Eagles – don't have a good year and the expectations are high that Nick Sirianni's out of here. And all of a sudden you got a new coach who wants new coordinators. And
Excellent point.
Yeah. I think you got to be careful with
drafting guys. If you remember, John, Fletcher Cox was Jim Washburn was wanted Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
Now, thank heaven that ended up being, if Fletcher Cox ends up his second year playing in a 3-4, which was not what he was drafted to do at all. Jim Washburn got fired midway or two-thirds of the way through Fletcher Cox's rookie year.
Yeah, and then then Bill Davis. Well, Kelsey said there's two players he played with that could play in any system, any scheme, any philosophy, and they'd be successful. And he said, one was Jason Peters and one was Fletcher Cox, and that's it.
But they were very fortunate that was the guy, you know, that he was that guy, that he could do anything because they drafted him because Jim Washburn was.
Yeah.
You know.
And Fletcher didn't like when they switched from Jim. Everybody, all defensive linemen love playing for Jim Schwartz. Love it. And when they switched to the Fangio-like scheme with Jonathan Gannon, he didn't like that at first, but he could play it.
And at least
Fletcher, though, Fletcher wasn't drafted as a developmental player. I mean, we're talking about Felix Hunt, you know. That's the difference, though. You get a new coordinator, and now you got a guy on the roster that's a developmental piece.
Yeah.
Next coach might not want to deal with that. You know,
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Xander, because that would be one of my quibbles with the draft. I'm not like some people. I'm not, oh my God, they had the most wonderful draft ever, and this will be, you know, they'll be the best team in the league for the next 20 years. I don't like a project in the third round. I understand about this guy's measurables and how, you know, what his ceiling could possibly be. That's intriguing. It would be a lot more intriguing in the fifth or sixth round than it was to me in the third round. They've done this before. And I've seen it not work. Davion Taylor, Curtis Marsh, the third round corner who was a converted running back. They love these, you know, well, this guy could be such and such, you know. Well, a couple of years ago, he was a backup safety at Cornell. So,
that's awesome, by the way. He goes from 195 to 252, whatever he is.
Yeah.
That's a late spurt.
But,
you know, he's this big, rangy guy. I will say this, Les. He looks like an edge rusher. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He might be a great player, but I'm just saying, third round.
Yeah.
You know, like Roman.
No, Wilson. I'm with you. I've talked about it a lot. Peyton Wilson was there, and he went, I think, four picks later to Pittsburgh and Andy Waddle, which I thought was interesting because for two reasons. One, Bradley's out there, Dr. James Bradley. So UPMC, that's one of the go-to sort of sports medical facilities in the country. And if Pittsburgh cleared them, that means something to me.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about Peyton Wilson. So from a medical standpoint, I don't know. And to me, he'd be a day one starter for the Eagles at linebacker, a position of need for a contender. That's one to keep an eye on. I don't necessarily like that decision. And it seems like, you know, if Andy's taking him, Andy knows how the Eagles do business.
He's a guy that probably would have fit with the Eagles philosophy as well. That's a very good point.
And I think the other part of the Jalix Hunt pick is former safety. He can drop in coverage. That also points to being a Vic Fangio guy.
Right. Yeah, flat defender. Yeah.
If only we could hear from Vic Fangio to elaborate on that. But
gonna drive people insane. Vic's drive. They love dropping those flat defenders, those edge rushers.
Well, there's some guys that can really do that, and it works great, you know. But it's weird that Hassan Reddick couldn't do that, having been drafted by the Cardinals to be a real linebacker, you know, a not a pass rush linebacker, but a linebacker. You know, they wasted a couple years of his career. I think one of the reasons Hassan Reddick is out of here, one of the reasons is he's 30 years old and he just kind of got going as an edge rusher about 4 years ago. You know, Hassan Reddick can't play in coverage at all. And, you know, that made him, along with some other things, a bad fit here. But, you know, it's going to be real interesting to see what Fangio does and how the pieces fit together that they have, because they didn't change everybody. You know, you can't go out and get a whole new defense. So some people are going to be doing things that maybe they weren't doing previously.
At Les Bowen, make sure you follow Les on X, Twitter. Does a tremendous job writing for PHLY. So Anthony Gargano doing a good job getting Les Bowen back. Check him out there. Les Bowen's John on his own personal website as well. I guess all I did, Howie was on, has been doing the national rounds, taking his flowers. Everybody loves Howie. So he was on Adam Schein's show and he was talking about Saquon Barkley, and he gave the old zigzagging quote that he's done a number of times. Sometimes when everybody's zigging, you want to zag. And he used that for Saquon Barkley. Everybody's devalued the position so much that maybe it's time to go the other way. Here's not if you agree, but the levels to that, I think Howie was a main contributor of everybody devaluing the position. That he just okie doke everybody and say, all right, don't value this position, everybody. And then I'm going to shift gears and take one of the guys who can play. Is he that far ahead of the game?
Very good. Yeah. That's, but you know, he would not have drafted Saquon Barkley second
overall. No, that he would not have done. Yes.
Never in a million years. No. And, you know, paying him money is one thing. You know, drafting him when you needed a quarterback is something else. But yeah, that there's a certain, I understand that. It's all about that money ball idea of, undervalued assets and things like that, that things that people aren't investing in. There's a certain, I still say they might be reviving the throw to the running back part of the offense with Saquon Barkley.
They paid him all that money. I mean,
He's going to be just handing that. Jalen's going to hand off to him 20 times a game.
Yeah.
Maybe they see this as a way to also get their running game less dependent on Jalen Hurts, which is probably a good thing. You know, that Super Bowl year, their running stats were incredible, but if you took away Jalen Hurts, they weren't quite as – I mean, that was really a big part of their running attack. And I think we've seen from Jalen that it can't just disappear because he's not comfortable playing a style that doesn't involve him running at all. But I do think you've got to get away from those games where he's in double digits in carries, you know. And this is one way to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff, Les. Thanks for joining the show today. Pretty good breakdown of all the draft. It'll be interesting to see. An early prediction. I think Howie will be using the same zig when everyone else is zagging, quote, next year when he finally addresses the linebacker position. But we'll see if he does that.
Still waiting Les, thanks on that for joining.
That's a very good point. It's great being with you guys.
Thank you, Les. Appreciate it, bud. There's Les Bowen. Make sure you follow Les Bowen on Twitter at Les Bowen and read his work on PHLY, where he's contributing now, and lesbowensjohn.com. So pretty good stuff from Les. I want to remind all of our listening audience, over 670 watching across Jacob platforms and over 400 on YouTube. Make sure you guys like the show on YouTube, as it's the number one thing you can do to help grow our show. So we appreciate that very much. I don't have a number of what we're at right now, but I'd like to get them north of 100 by the end of the live show. So if you guys could do that for us, that would be great. Johnny Mack and I will come back coming up after the break, and we'll put a wrap on this Monday edition of Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media Channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.